Good morning. How you guys doing this morning? Hey, we have it's a wonderful celebration that you've stumbled into this morning here at the Vineyard, our baptism weekend, and so we'll get to that in just a few minutes. We also have a couple really special guests with us this morning, Wes and Leslie Patterson. Why don't you guys come on up here? I don't know how many of you guys remember Wes and Leslie. They actually started attending the Vineyard in 2003, back in our old facility. And then about 3 years ago, they ended up moving to Belfast, Northern Ireland, and originally to plant a church. But then what happened was they've come on staff at the Vineyard Church there in Belfast for about the last year and a half, and eventually they'll go out and plant. And so what we wanted to do this morning was, for those of you that haven't met them, I wanted you to get a chance to meet them. And for those of you that have and know them, I want you to hear kind of an update on some of their story. And I kind of wanted to package this in a way, talk about this, kind of frame our conversation around the way that Jesus calls us to come and follow him and some of the stuff that happens in the midst of that. And so it was about, 2003.
2003.
It was eight
yep.
years. That's what I was trying to say. 1952. About 2003 that these guys kind of stumbled into the Vineyard Church and began to kind of experience some of what God was kind of doing in their life and the way that he's kind of reshaping them at that point. And it's been this incredible journey for you guys. And I can't wait for these guys to hear some more of it. But this really fun journey of God really directing you and confronting stuff in you and then just growing you in a way that he could really use you pretty powerfully. I have to say that these guys were incredibly great leaders when they were with us. They were never on staff at our church, but God used them really powerfully in numerous different ways. And one of our values has always been that when God directs people, no matter who they are, whether they're some of our best leaders or somebody that we haven't even really met yet, that when God directs people and begins to call them in other places, that we really want to hold one another open-handedly and that we want to be more than willing to send out our best. And so we felt like we did that with you guys. We're like, man, these are some of our best leaders, and here they go to Northern Ireland, which is, we've had some relationship with those churches over the years, and so it's been really, really good in the midst of that. Okay, so here's what I want to do. We're going to start out by reading Mark chapter 1. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you open it up to Mark chapter 1, and we're going to frame this conversation kind of in the same way that Jesus called his original disciples, and we'll kind of talk about it in the midst of that. So Mark chapter 1, starting, I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 right after I pray. Let me pray, and then I'll read that. Heavenly Father, thank you for Wes and Leslie and the things that you've been doing in their lives. Thank you for just our community and the folks that are being baptized just in a few minutes here later on. Father, I ask that through the Patterson story, through your word, through the scriptures, and by your Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to every single one of us today about things that you're calling us towards, about direction that you have for our lives, about what you're doing in each of us. God, and I believe that you have very specific direction for every single one of us. And so would you give us the grace, the ability to hear that and to really follow you in this. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. So at the very beginning of this journey with Jesus, it starts off pretty simple. It's Jesus just saying, come and have a relationship with me. Right? And I'm going to break this phrase kind of into two pieces, the part about just come have a relationship with me and then begin to follow me. Tell me, when you guys first attended the Vineyard Church, when you first came to Vineyard, you weren't really in agreement about like your experience here. It's tell me your experience here. Leslie, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I walked in the Vineyard Church and the faces were friendly and people were nice, but the music was a little too loud, and I had a hard time that people actually went up and received prayer, and I thought that was a bit weird. So yeah, when I left the very first time, I actually told Wes and I said, I never want to go back.
That's awesome. I love it.
And my experience was a bit different. I had walked in and I was really in a rough spot, just emotionally, spiritually, walking into the Vineyard. We had just moved up to Two Harbors and recommended to come to this church by a friend of ours. So I walked in, and at the stage of life I was in or where I was at, it didn't surprise me all that much, but I just started crying. And I hadn't cried for years. I was taught not to cry. So when I walk into the building, I just start sobbing, and I find my seat, worship's playing, and I get this overwhelming sense that I've come home and that God loves me, like he loves me. And I hadn't experienced that prior to this moment, so I thought I was having a nervous breakdown of sorts. So I ended up just listening. I was just on the edge of my seat. What is going on with me? I mean, Michael was speaking.
And it was brilliant,
and it was yeah. The most brilliant message I've ever heard in my life. No. But it was the whole moment, and God just captured my heart. Jesus just came to me and captured my heart. So we walk out of this building and get in the car, and I'm trying to choke back tears, because I'm still being affected. And then I turned to Leslie, I'm like, well, what did you think? We found home. And that's when she turned and said, I don't ever want to go back. So that was our entrance into the Vineyard. Yeah.
So one of the things that's interesting, when Jesus invites us to follow him, he is inviting us into relationship with him, relationship with one another. But the first kind of key thing, he says, come and follow me. He says, like, come and spend time with me. Come and develop intimate relationship with me. And so, that's a really huge deal that oftentimes kind of in church culture we miss. That in American Christianity, we kind of miss this deal that this isn't just about kind of getting a ticket stamp so you get to heaven when you die. This is a really important piece of relationship with Christ that God's created us for that, and he wants to draw us into intimacy. So talk to me a little bit about kind of how that began to develop. Because eventually you guys did come back to Vineyard at some point, right?
Yeah, about 6 months later, we had made the decision to give Vineyard a try again, and we did, and we just got plugged in with a small group right away. Leslie, you started going to a small group even before I did. I just have to say that experience, experiencing God's presence for me, just continued. And for the first time, I just felt like I was being sought out by Jesus. And he just, like I said, he just started to just compel me to want to know him more, to want to get to know what he had written in Scripture, what he was doing in my life. And I just really, really began on that journey to just say yes to him. So whatever he started asking me to do, I just wanted to make myself available and say yes, yes to him, which all the practical bits, getting prayer, ministry, going to small groups and stuff, just... He started putting me back together.
That's good. What about you? What was that experience about for you like in developing intimacy? And
yeah, it was kind of a slow step-by-step process. When I first recommitted to trying the Vineyard, I told Wes that I would do 6 weeks, but there is like no commitment beyond that. But within those 6 weeks, I really was pointed to Jesus and found something that I hadn't had before. I had always grown up going to church, and I knew who God was, and I loved him, but it was like there was a wall that was taken down when I actually found out more of who the person of Jesus is and started really seeking out that journey with him.
That's really cool. Like, in what ways did that kind of develop for you guys? Like, in what ways did you begin to experience that?
I think for me, I finally realized that Jesus was calling me into a deep, committed relationship with him first, that I didn't have to earn it, that I didn't have to go do a bunch of stuff to get a pat on the head from him, but that I could actually practically just reach out to him and receive what he was offering me, which was this amazing relationship, love relationship that he had for me, and I didn't have to go earn it. and I didn't have to make it happen. I didn't have to be obedient to receive it, but I literally just got to accept it and receive from him. And that was that it changed my life to literally go, wow, Jesus, you're doing the pursuing here.
That's so cool. So as we develop that intimate relationship with him, one of the things that we discover is Jesus isn't content with kind of just being an innocent bystander in our lives. Like, he's not content with just being a lucky charm in our pocket, you know, that we pull out when we get, like, into a bad situation. That he actually is inviting us to rearrange our lives and follow him. So in that ancient rabbinic tradition, what the disciples would do is they're going to attach themselves to their rabbi. They're going to attach themselves to Jesus to learn how to do what he does, to learn how to be who he is. That's what they're doing. And so then you guys began to rearrange your life a little bit to do that. Like, you quit the job that you had that caused you to work on Sundays so that you could actually come and be a part of community. And in what other ways did you begin? You know, you already talked a little bit about small group, but what other ways did you kind of begin to rearrange your life to really do that?
Well, I think doing the hard bits, it's seemingly the hard bits to, like, rearrange your job schedule and whatever else, but I think the hardest bits for me were rearranging my expectations and the way that I would go to Jesus to receive from him. So some of the barriers that I had to go over were coming up for ministry on a Sunday morning and just say, you know what, I don't care what I look like. I want to be changed. I want to be made new. I want to be reworked from the inside. And so starting to just put myself in environments like that and allowing the Holy Spirit the time and the place to do that in my life. I also worked a job that I was my own boss at that time. So I really plugged into any training opportunity I possibly could get where I could learn from Jesus while I was doing the risk-taking. And then gospel wholeness is something that I just... revolutionized our marriage, saved our marriage as we plugged into the gospel wholeness and pursuing Jesus together. We really saw some life change occur just simply by leaning on him instead of trying to lean on our own stuff.
Yeah, I think too, it was the process of surrendering our own agenda and just saying, okay, God, like this life is not about me anymore, but it's about you. And I think that's kind of what happened with me.
Yeah, that's really good. So then the next thing Jesus says, he says, come and follow me. And the next thing he says, and I'll send you out to fish for people. So not only then is he saying, come follow me, come learn from me, come have relationship with me, but now, like, I'm going to actually turn you outward focused. This isn't about just what you get in relationship with me. Now, this is about what you are going to begin to give and how you're going to begin, you know, to allow him to use you. And one of the things that stands out to me is that how Jesus has more vision for these guys' lives than they have for their own lives. Like, he has more vision for them than they have for their own. They're totally content with just fishing for fish. And Jesus says, I've got a lot bigger picture in mind for you. And I often feel that way, that God has more vision for my life, that he's got more vision for our lives than we do for our lives. And we come up with lots of reasons, we come up with lots of excuses, we come up with lots of things to kind of pull back a little bit and say, oh, wait a minute, I don't think that that's really for me. And so in this process, God begins kind of speaking to you guys a little bit about pastoring, about being church planters, about going out and starting something new. Like, what was that journey like?
That was one of those scary journeys. When I was about 18 years old, I remember the time and the place, and I really felt God call me and said, Wes, I've made you to be a pastor. And I pretty much laughed in his face at that moment because I thought, I haven't found a place or a pastor that I want to be like. So, and then I found Michael, just so you know.
And then you still look.
I'm still, yeah. Still looking. I had to go to Northern Ireland. It's crazy. No. But it wasn't until I came to the Vineyard and actually stumbled into the Vineyard that I found a place that I felt like I could actually pursue this call. And so Michael and ourselves had been talking from the get-go, basically, about what are we called to and what are we for. And so I started pursuing that calling for the first time in real seriousness and just began actually believing and knowing that God had called us to go plant a church in the Vineyard. And it was an exciting time. It took a lot to get me there, probably 2 or 3 years, where I finally just accepted, okay, God, I feel like you might be doing this in my life.
What was that like for you during that time?
Well, when people started saying that we're leaders, I always thought, you know, yeah, Wes is a leader, but I'm just kind of like the pat on the back supporting person. So I kind of thought that they were a bit crazy to think that I actually had any leadership potential. And really, for the longest time, kind of thought, I don't know what to do with that. I've got nothing to give. So, yeah, I just made myself a little bit more available to God and just kind of put my toe in the water and looked to see where he took me.
Yeah, and so as they began to do that, they actually began to see kind of fruit from their efforts. So their small group that they began to lead was one of our, at that time, one of our best small groups in terms of training leaders and multiplying leaders and developing leaders as they, you know, kind of gave themselves to helping other people understand how to have this intimate relationship with Jesus, you know, through that tool of gospel of wholeness that we use. They began to see other people developing that. They really grew to be what I had said earlier, some of our best leaders in the midst of that. There was some fruit to that. We saw that. They began to recognize that. And then there was a point a few years ago, Brenda and I, over a period of time, have built some great relationships with some Vineyard churches in Ireland. And so we were taking a team of people over just to go do some outreach and support and help them and do some teaching and training. And then Wes felt like he was supposed to go on that team. You know, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so it was strange when the announcement came, we're going to go to Ireland, we're bringing a team. Both Leslie and I were really, we just had some expectation about this trip. We felt like I should go on it. Leslie at the time was pregnant with our daughter. But both of us just thought this is something that I should go on. And in the midst of that, we were actually praying for places to plant a church. But my parameters, though I didn't voice them to God, my expectations were 100-mile radius from where we were living at that point, which was a stretch for us anyway. So we had just started raising funds for this trip just to go on this missions trip and just saw an overwhelming response. So we just knew God was behind this and he was doing something with this trip. We didn't know yet what.
Yeah, there's a couple things I forgot to put up on the screen there. There are some obvious reasons that we don't embrace what God's doing in our lives. One of those is fear, and they touched on that briefly. That, like, boy, you know, God begins to speak to you about his vision for your life, and it's oftentimes so much bigger than our vision that it really does strike fear into our hearts. Like, how's this going to ever happen? Like, what's this thing really all about? And so then what we begin to do is rationalize it away. You know, we begin to think to ourselves, well, it's not like I'm somebody special, that God would choose to use me. And the truth is, you're not. Like, we're not special. You know, Jesus is the one who's special, right? You say that when you look in the mirror. I'm not special. It goes totally against our culture, but it's true, right? And but he's the one who's really incredibly special. And if we'll just submit ourselves to him, it's like he can do some amazing things in our lives to us and then also through us to other people. Okay, and so then when you think about overcoming those things, it's like there's these choices that we make along the way. And so these guys made a choice to invest time, energy, and substantial money to kind of come with us on this trip to Ireland. And did you already say, like, what happened when we touched down in Ireland?
No. So with the strangest thing is we were just kind of considering and praying about places here in the United States, 100 miles from where we were living. God really distinctly called me at that point and made it very clear that he was calling me calling us to plant a church here on this island as soon as I arrived in Belfast. And I just thought, if that's you, God, it has to be all you. There's no way I'm going to make that happen.
So I love the next part of this story because then you kind of come back from this trip and Leslie, like, what kind of happens after that? He's feeling like maybe God's called you guys to go to Ireland. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I had an inkling kind of when he arrived, just based on the way he was talking about Ireland, that God maybe spoke to him about Ireland being somehow a special place or maybe a place we were called to. But I didn't really want to go there, so I didn't really bring it up. And Wes waited 11 months or 11 and a half months before he actually told me anything about it. And one day just kind of pulled me aside and said, I think that God might be calling us to Northern Ireland or
so,
Ireland.
Wait, 11 and a half months.
Yep.
This goes on 11 and a half months. He doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And you don't want to talk about it.
No, no. It was probably a good thing that he waited because I probably would have said no.
What was that like for you, 11 and a half months?
Yeah, that was really difficult, to be honest, because as I waited on that and as I waited on what I really felt the Lord was doing with us, it just got more intense, and God felt like God was just continuing to clarify the call that this is in fact what He was doing. But one thing I just prayed and continued to ask and gave to Him was, God, if this is You, I know, and if You can speak to me, I'm asking You to speak to my wife and my family and our leaders as well, because I didn't want to be manipulating this. I didn't want to be pulling all the strings and making it this is my thing, because it wasn't. It was God's thing. And I knew that the way that He was speaking to me is the same exact way He could speak to everyone else. So I just really prayed and continued to ask God to do that in the hearts of all of the loved ones around me and my leaders and stuff. So it was hard. It was a discipline.
So that's an incredible leadership lesson for those of you that are in families or, you know, have significant others in your life. That if God is big enough to speak to you, He's actually big enough to speak to the other people in your life. That's an incredible lesson that lots of people don't learn. And because Wes was willing to do that, then God begins to speak to Leslie. So go ahead and talk about that part.
Yeah, well, Wes did, like, when he had told me, I thought, I didn't really think that it would be a possibility. I didn't think that God would actually open the door. So I thought I was pretty safe in saying, sure, let's try it out and see what happens, and we'll just test the doors and keep on pushing them, and if they open, we'll walk through them. But I actually had no expectation that they'd do it.
So then you guys take a trip over to Ireland. Like one of the things when we met and we talked about it, and I said, well, why don't you go take a fact-finding trip? Tell me about that.
Yeah, the trip was pretty rough. We had Gwyneth, who is 7 months old, and the whole time I was kind of bleary-eyed. We were jet-lagged, and Wes was seemingly hearing left, right, and center from God that this is where we were supposed to be, and he was really excited, and I was feeling like, what am I supposed to do? I have no idea. I'm tired. I just want to go home. So we fly back and arrive in Newark, New Jersey, and pass through customs, and I want to just, like, plant a big kiss on the customs guy when he says, welcome home. And so feeling a bit bewildered, and Wes and I, we were waiting for our next flight back home, and Wes said, well, what do you think? And I said, this could take me years to figure out whether or not we should go to Ireland. And then during that time, Wes had to use the toilet quickly, and God actually, when I was really having a hard time figuring out what to do, God just impressed the whole story of Jonah and the whale to me and basically told me, you know, I'm going to use you, I want to use you, and you can either do it the easy way and just follow me straight away, or you can actually experience what it felt like for Jonah to be stuck in the belly of a whale or a fish or whatever it was. And I thought, I really would like to not experience that. So said yes.
And God's telling you all this while he's in the loo.
Yeah, so we have this conversation 3 minutes ago that, what do you think? Oh, it's going to be years. It's going to be years. Okay, I'm going to go to the toilet. I'll be right back. On the way, I just get this thought that I knew was God, and then God just said, pray that Leslie would hear my voice and obey me. So I did. I just prayed, God, would Leslie hear your voice and obey you? Went to use the toilet, came back. 3 minutes later, I sit down. Leslie goes, Wes, we're supposed to move. It was unbelievable.
I love it. So in order to really begin to follow what God's called you to do, there's kind of a series of choices that you make. There's a choice that you make to actually see what God's doing in your life and in the lives of people around you. And then there's this important thing about not trying to talk other people into that, but kind of allow them to see what God's doing. And so we as leaders were seeing and recognizing what God was doing in these guys. They were seeing and recognizing what God's doing in each other. The Vineyard Church in Belfast is recognizing what God's doing in them. It's like there's this choice to actually see what God's doing and then begin to embrace that. There's a choice to take a risk. And so you guys moved over there. Like you raised support, you did some stuff, and you got yourself over there. And it was pretty miraculous, because one of the things that we talked about, I remember at Blackwoods, is I said, well, like there's this whole visa issue thing, you know, that we know so well around here. And so there's this, like you can't just go over there and work, you know, you got to get visas. And then you discover.
Yeah, through the whole process, we found out that through my mother, because I was born of an English woman, I was actually eligible for British citizenship. And Northern Ireland is actually part of the United Kingdom. And so I like to say that I was Wes's golden ticket.
That's right.
To get us over there.
That's kind of like a movie title, like Born of a British Woman kind of thing. You know, and then I'm Wes's golden ticket, you know. There's no way you get over there without her.
Exactly, and she reminds me often.
That's awesome. So there's a choice to risk. These guys move over there, and your first year over there was absolutely stunningly glorious, right?
Exactly not that way. Yeah, it was really rough. We caught a lot of the local bugs. I was in bed.
Not like cockroaches either.
No, not cockroaches, but that would have been great too. I was in bed at one point for 11 days with a fever. I thought I, you know, coming down with the Black Plague or something. We met a lot of obstacles when we got there, not knowing really anyone other than maybe one or two people. And then I had my mom passed away. It's hard saying mom now. They say mom over there. But had my mother pass away while I was there. So we went through a real rocky time as a family. And it was less than pleasurable, I would just say.
Yeah, the first year was hellish, at best.
It was hellish at best, definitely.
And near the end of that first year, I actually came over for a trip. I was teaching a church planting boot camp. It was at this really cool little Franciscan monastery up on the northern coast of Ireland. And these guys were there. I get out of the car, and I see them, you know, kind of wave. They come walking over to me, and they're just bawling. They're crying. They're saying, this year has been so difficult. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I send them into? You know, what's going on here? So we go to my hotel room or the room there at the monastery that I'm staying in. We talk about it for a while. We talk about it and pray about it over the course of the week. And near the end of that week, I just said, you know what? Here's the deal. If you guys don't think this is God, if this is, like, too hard, it's like, I don't want you to die over here, you know, and forsaken in Northern Ireland somewhere. And so, like, we as the Vineyard family, like, we'll pay to bring you back. Like, I'll schedule the flights now. Like, we'll just bring you back. And I kind of threw that out to you guys. And I really was looking at Leslie because this was brutal on her. And you said...
I said no. As much as I wanted to say yes and just, like, go home on the next flight, I said no. I knew that God had brought us this far. And when God brings you to a place, he promises to take care of you. And although it felt like he had abandoned us, I knew that he hadn't. And he had just given us both strength to carry on. And I'm so glad we did.
Yeah. So, like what began to turn around? Like, what? Like, there's something that I think being offered that and then you saying no to it, there's kind of almost this crucible moment where then you realize, okay, I'm in this thing, and I'm going to just... Can you guys talk about that at all? I've never asked you that question, actually. It's a brand new one. Here we go. Like, when what kind of happened in that, in you? Like, what did God do in you?
I think he just probably deposited more strength in me and just more of a reliance. When you leave for a place, you kind of get excited, and so many Americans think Ireland is this amazing place, and it is, but when you live there, it doesn't feel quite as amazing just as living anywhere does. But God just gave me so much strength and even more like a tenacity just to like latch into him and not let go. That was something we really learned like through the whole process. If we had let go, we would have been totally destroyed. So there was no choice. And it was just seeing God's faithfulness through that.
Yeah, that's really good.
I just think for me, as you make difficult decisions, we all know what those are like, given the choice at every turn and saying, no, I'm going to keep pursuing what I know to be right, it's another choice, it's another yes in the process of saying yes to Jesus. And for us, I mean, that's what it felt like. It was just yes, yet another yes. And yes, all of these things were testing our calling. And, I think that's the thing that that often gets tested is our calling when things get hard. But it was really amazing to actually go, yeah, you know what? We're choosing Jesus's path again and again and again.
So there's this choice to follow. There's this choice to say, I'm going to walk down this thing. And here's what's interesting to me about it. No matter how long you follow Jesus, every time he invites you to say goodbye to everything. Like every time he invites you to say goodbye to like pretty much everything in your life and follow him every single step of the way. And you think that it becomes easier as you grow with Jesus, as you follow him. But every step of the way, it's this choice to say, I'm going to walk away from everything. I'm going to follow Jesus. And as you go along, there's more to walk away from in the midst of that. This is cool. I'm glad you guys came and hung out with us a little bit. Anything more that you'd like to kind of follow up with?
I would just say, and even along that vein, the things that I have found the hardest are not the selling everything, moving to a different country, all of those types of things. Those things aren't the hardest anymore. I used to think those were the hard things. Mm. And those are the easy things in comparison to letting Jesus have his way in my heart. And I've been finding that now that I feel like I don't have a stable place to call home, he's the only one that satisfies me. And that's what he's just been, as my heart aches a bit when you come back and you're trying to acclimate to a new culture, he's just continuing to remind me that he says, I'm the only one that'll satisfy you. I'm the only one that'll bring satisfaction to you.
That's cool.
So
that's good. Leslie, anything else?
I just want to encourage you that when God calls you, it's such a process, and it doesn't have to start out with anything big. Even when I left for Ireland, I felt so ill-equipped and thought, you know, there's no way that God can use me. But I'll just go to support West. But the more...
that's so nice of you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But the more that I actually allow God to work in my life, and the more that I say yes to him, he actually does use me, and he does equip me, and he has put things into me. And it's the same way with all of you. And once you start doing that, like, it is the greatest adventure, and it's so much fun, and you would never want to go back.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, you guys, for being here with us. I really appreciate it. Very good. All right, we're going to move on here a little bit. It's time to get to baptizing some folks. Gosh, I felt like a cowboy there for a minute. We're going to baptize some people. So here, let me talk about what this is a little bit and just kind of unpack it for you. Maybe you're kind of new to this whole thing in church and or especially even here at the Vineyard. Baptism is this picture of the reality in our lives of following Jesus. And so I just want to like highlight kind of four things. There's probably a lot more that I could highlight, but here's four things that are kind of happening when we obey Jesus in baptism. The first one is this, that we're identifying ourselves with Christ in this act of baptism. By participating in this, I'm identifying myself with Christ, that he really is my Lord and Savior. So by going under the water in this watery grave, we're identifying with Jesus' death. And it doesn't become a grave for us because we pull you back out of the water, right? And you're identifying with his resurrection from the dead. You're identifying with the fact that it's water in that it's only his sacrifice on the cross that allows us to experience relationship with God, that he actually cleanses us of our sin, just like the water cleanses us, because of our trust, our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So there's this whole identification thing with him. There's also this entrance into a family. You know, when Jesus commands us to baptize one another in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I don't think that just means that we're kind of supposed to wave our hands over people and say those words. We do that, right? Not necessarily wave the hands, but we say the words, you know, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But it's not just about saying some words. I think part of what Jesus is inviting us into here is there's this immersion into the Trinitarian community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit community. Like God himself is community, it's relationship, absolutely perfect relationship. And he's inviting us into that. And so we're invited into relationship with him, and we're invited into community. And so the church is actually meant to be this representation of the Trinity, this representation of real community, that we're meant to reflect Him in the way that we treat one another and live with one another. And so baptism is an entrance into the family, an entrance into relationship. It's one time, it's non-repeatable. You don't need to be baptized over and over when you change churches. It's like, this is a one-time deal into the big family. Communion, on the other hand, is like the family meal. We do that every time we get together. But this is kind of a one-time deal, an entrance into community. And then baptism is really all about acceptance. We are receiving something we don't deserve. Baptism forces you to grapple with you don't deserve relationship with God. That as humans, if we got what we deserved, do you know what it would be? H-E double hockey sticks. Like, that's for Minnesotans. Hockey sticks, get it? You guys okay? Okay, cool. It just wasn't funny. Okay, I get that. It's like, Michael, we would laugh if it was funny. Shut up and keep going. I don't know how to do that, shut up and keep going. So if we got what we deserved, it would be utter and complete separation from God forever. That's what we deserve. And so baptism forces us to grapple with that we're receiving something from Him that we don't deserve, that we can't earn, that we can't get to on our own. And so as you submit to being baptized, it's like a picture of this submitting to the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in your life. And that it's because of Jesus' sacrifice that we experience that relationship with Him. That's why we don't just baptize ourselves. That's why you don't just get in the tub and go, boop, boop, you know, I'm done, kind of thing. Because it's meant to be this communal deal. There's relationship there. And we're actually doing that with and for one another. And then baptism is really all about empowerment. It's about God filling us with His Holy Spirit. Now, when you surrender your life to Jesus, He fills you with His Spirit. But then there's lots of times in our lives where we continue to be filled with His Spirit. That's why Paul in Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but, and he says it in the perfect present tense, but be being filled with the Spirit. And so there's this constant kind of empowering of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is this picture of that. And so, for instance, one of the symbols that's used throughout the scriptures over and over again is the symbol of water for the Holy Spirit. And so it's not just water for cleansing, but it's water for empowering, that God wants to fill us with His Spirit, that the Holy Spirit should be around us like the water is around us when we're immersed in the tub, that's what that should be like in our lives. And so those are kind of four kind of basic pictures. I could probably list off another four, but I don't want to bore you with kind of, you know, elements of what baptism looks like. And it's a really cool, amazing thing, not just a ritual, but this really cool thing in our lives. So here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to invite those of you who are being baptized to come right up here in the front, and we're going to have you line up right in the front and then face everybody. So you can come up right now. Just come on up here, and you're going to line up right in the front, and you're going to face everybody. And then I'm going to ask you four questions that have been asked of folks being baptized, really variations of these questions for the past couple thousand years. And so just kind of spread out in one big glorious line. I don't know about the glorious part. One line. There you go. And then I'm going to ask you guys four questions. And then the way that you respond to the questions is just say, I do. You know? And you can say it really nice and loud so everybody can hear you, kind of thing. And I'll put the questions on the screen so everybody can see them as I read through them. Okay, you guys ready? Awesome. Nervous? Well, it's nervous taking a bath in front of everybody. I mean, it's kind of a nervous thing to do. I'm joking. I make it better, don't I? Yeah, I remove all the nervousness. Question one. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord and King, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life and grace? If so, I do. There you go. You guys passed the first test. It's good. It's better than the SAT. Question number two. Do you renounce Satan and all of his works and all of his ways? There you go. Question three, do you confess your need for the forgiveness of sins and with a humble heart put your hope in God's mercy and your whole trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior? Awesome. And then question number four, and with His help, do you seek to follow Him day by day, becoming more like Him until you see Him face to face? You can answer by saying, I do. Let's give these guys a hand. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for these men and women. Thank you for them submitting and surrendering their lives to you. God, we just stand with them in the midst of their baptism here today. We celebrate with them, and we celebrate with you. And we ask that you would bless them and fill them from the top of their head to their tippy toes, kind of with your spirit, and just release everything that you have for them. Yes. So why don't you guys just line up right over here. And I'm going to invite everybody to stand, and we're going to worship. And then we'll put kind of a picture on the screen. We'll have somebody kind of videotaping this thing, and we'll put it on the screen so that you can kind of see it, so everybody can kind of participate in what's going on. If you are friends or family of somebody being baptized and they've kind of asked you to, you know, come up and participate with them, you are free during their baptism to come kind of gather around the tub while one of the pastors is baptizing them. And then also, I just invite you guys to celebrate. It says in Luke chapter 15, it makes me nervous, all these cameras aimed this way. It says in Luke chapter 15 that when even one person repents and turns to Jesus, that there is this huge celebration going on in heaven. And so there's a huge celebration in God and in heaven, you know, and all the angels today with what's happening here. And I just invite you guys to join with it. Just feel free to hoot and holler and have a great time as these guys are being baptized. So I think we're ready to go. You guys can take us away and lead us in some worship.
Come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud.
Father God, thank you so much for your grace, your faithfulness in our lives. Thank you for your son Jesus and his sacrifice and for the family that you've drawn us into. God, on days like this, our hearts just overflow with thankfulness at the way that you allow us to be involved in what you're doing and draw us into community and relationship and just your love, your love. You know, I don't know where you are at. We don't have time to chat individually this morning. I don't know where you are at in your own personal journey and your relationship with Jesus. But here's the deal. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never followed these guys' example or Wes and Leslie's example of just surrendering your life to Christ, letting him be Lord or Master, Savior, King, the boss, if you've never done that, I would just invite you to do that this morning. Like I would be amiss to not extend that invitation to you to just surrender to him, really allow him and his kingdom to begin to rule and reign in really every aspect of your life. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer of surrender. And if you've never done that, I just invite you to pray that along with me. And maybe for some of you, you've prayed that prayer, but it's kind of, you know, been, you know, your journey with Jesus has been kind of halting. Maybe you started, but then you kind of stopped and you got sidetracked. And I would just love to invite you to just recommit, just to kind of re-up with him, to say, you know what, Jesus, I started out trusting you, but I've kind of gone my own way. And if that's you, I just invite you to kind of pray this prayer of surrender with me as well. Just really, just kind of, you know, concretely submit yourself to him. And so I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and you can pray it silently or quietly along with me. Just something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your absolutely perfect, sinless life. And thank you for your sacrificial death on the cross for me. And thank you for your resurrection from the dead that proves that it's all true, that you really are Creator God. And so, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. I submit to you. Would you be my King, my Lord? Thank you for your salvation, your life that you offer. Now, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And would you begin or continue your incredible work of changing me from the inside out? Make me more like yourself. I surrender to you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Now, if you prayed that with me for the first time, if you're on the ministry team, if you make your way up front, that'd be great. If you prayed that with me for the first time, like you just surrendered your life to Jesus in that way, we would love to give you a little gift. We have up here in the front, and the ministry team folks have these available. We have these little envelopes, and in there is a New Testament Bible. It's a CD that has some information about just following Jesus that you can listen to. There's a couple brochures inviting you to some classes that we have here, just teaching you what it means to follow Christ. We love to give this to you if you come up and ask for it, just to help you get started in the right way in your relationship with Christ. And so just the ministry team people up here, they'd love to be praying with you. Come up and just say, hey, could I get one of those packets? I prayed with Michael, and I'd love to get one of those, and they'll make sure you get one of these. And then, of course, we're willing to pray for anything that's going on in your life. And so any kind of relational or even physical issues or maybe financial issues that you're going through, these folks would just love to pray with you. We believe that God answers prayers, that he hears what we're praying, and that he comes and meets us. And so whatever's going on in your life, I just invite you to take a risk, you know, like these guys talked about today, and just come up and allow them to really pray with you and just kind of stand with you in that. Other than that, the worship team's going to continue to lead us in worship. You can hang out in here as long as you want to. God bless you guys. Thanks so much for coming to the Vineyard today. And get some prayer before you leave today. All right.